A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Monday morning. We survived the weekend, I guess, so here we are, as always, on Monday. It's kind of, everybody is excited, right? Everybody's excited about the Monday blues. I know Anna Grace, she was excited because we had some news come through by email where they go to school, Cramerton Christian Academy. There's some dress code that they have to abide by, but I guess the exception's been made. And so now the girls can wear loose-fitting jeans. So she was excited about that. So Anna Grace and Reagan and her mom had went to Old Navy yesterday, and they got some jeans, and so yeah, you know, just being able to wear some of those comfortable clothes, if you will. I don't know though, there is something nice about a nice pair of fitting jeans, I guess, kind of like country song says, nice pair of jeans. Anyway, yeah, I don't know where I went with that. Country song, right? Yeah. But anyway, yeah, getting back to the more important things here. Had a good weekend. Didn't really get into a whole lot. Kind of basically just stayed around the house and did some, resting, I guess you could say. Did some studying, some resting. Preached yesterday at church. Had a good service. I will say this, though. I noticed that, you know, teaching Sunday school and then preaching, my voice afterwards was kind of on the mend, if you will. So, yeah, I've often wondered about, you know, I've heard people talk about, like, vocals and stuff like that and just the importance of, I guess, just as anything that gets used a lot, take care of it, right? So, yeah. So, had a good day worshiping the Lord with other believers, and seemed like we had a good crowd at church Sunday. The thing, it looks like weather is changing, so apparently we'll be warming up outside. You know, I had said yesterday during the message that with that probably comes the grass cutting and everything else, you know. So, yeah, get out there on the zero turn and get some lawn mowed. So, yeah, that season, I think I had gotten an alert this morning from one of the apps talking about pollen, so I guess maybe we're already gonna be witnessing some of that a little bit around us. So yeah, that's kind of where we landed. But I did want to say, you know, one thing about yesterday's message that I kind of forgot to mention. You know, the two points that I really wanted for people to hearken to, I say hearken, to listen or, you know, get grounded upon was, you know, God's plan, God has a plan, and that we can rest in that plan in the midst of things that, you know, are wrong or immoral, evil around us. And I think the truth of that, we see of what was demonstrated in Jesus's life and how he fulfilled God's plan by being obedient unto the point of death. But one of the things that a passage that I failed to read yesterday, and I thought it was applicable towards the message in Matthew chapter 26, verse 1 through 13, was a passage in Psalm 34. And it says this, it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. You know, and I think that's a good reminder for us to be consumed by, you know, like, just full time's coming, right? We've already got those dues to pay. So we can go swim and the kids can have the opportunity to play and do their things, which is good. But I've often said, you know, jumping in the pool, how you're fully immersed in this body of water. And I think that's the same principle that we can take away from what God is saying there in Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions. There are things that we face. But again, what Christ accomplished for us on our behalf so that we could have relationship with God through him, I think we can get the impression that it's taken care of. You know, it doesn't mean that we get out of whatever it is that we may be dealing with at the time. You may already have experienced something this morning, maybe this weekend. You know, all of us have different afflictions, different things that we face day to day. But I think the truth be told is that we can rest in God's plan for our life, no matter what comes our way. Just as Christ demonstrated it in the flesh before us, and he fully lived a life that was obedient unto God. Not to say that we're perfect, but we can rest in the plan that God has because of what Christ has done. So ultimately, you know, it always comes full circle back to Christ and his power working in and through our lives. So I give thanks. You know, it was one of those messages where I felt that it had so much thought. I typed it out and I read all of it. It was just because, like, one of the mornings I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and was thinking through some things, and just like, you know, I got to get up and type this up. And so that's what we did. So anyway, to God be the glory. As we'll jump in 1 Corinthians and see that we preach Christ, and even from not doing it probably the best, not that we ever will. You know, so when you preach, it's not your efforts, it's the Word of God penetrating people's hearts, and therefore the Spirit of God revealing to them what he desires for them to see in the text. So I pray that did occur. I hope and pray that people's hearts were impacted by the Word of God yesterday. For us, again, we'll be in 1 Corinthians today, and, you know, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, all those two books of the Bible, I think it's beneficial for us to kind of spend some time here. So let's jump in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Through him you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. Now, I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. So Paul starts off with greetings and thanksgiving. He is grateful for the opportunity that he shares in this relationship of service with these other brothers and sisters in Christ. He references, and many times being stated in the passage, through God and the acts of how Christ has worked in these people's lives. And so he's grateful. He's grateful for the opportunity that others recognize who is Lord of their life, to know that there are others that are on mission just as he is. And so the recognition in that, Paul emphasizes the truth and how we probably look at greetings, one another, the encouragement from having other believers in your life, the joy that it can be, and the emphasis on the unity in which body of believers, the church, should have amongst themselves. But if you read through the passage again, he gets on down. There's the rumor mill, right? Word around the water cooler. As he states that he's hearing of quarrels amongst them and things that may be going on as far as who is what or part of what or however that looks. And I think the bigger picture is that we could say that within the confines of, in general, this has been stated many times, a group of people outside of the church, there probably will be envy and strife, divisions. I remember, you know, of thinking about like sports teams and how, you know, you hear the publicity on the news or read articles, you know, in the locker room. That on the field it's one thing, but in the locker room it's a whole different story. And that there's possible, you know, strife and contention amongst the team and having to work all that out. And then, you know, usually of course the after thought or effect of what occurs is that if it's a bad experience within the locker room, then usually it's a bad outcome on the field or court or wherever that may be. So there's importance in that unity, even in a general context. But you would say that, again, the church should be separate. There should be a clear distinction in how we operate. But again, we are people. We are selfish. We are prideful. Well, there's a lot of arrogance and all these things. These words are back at me as well. So I'm not literally looking in a mirror, but I am stating that, you know, these tendencies can flare up within my own self. I think that's the importance of what Paul is saying when he's doing this greeting and the emphasis behind who is the one that we are representing. Paul is stating that clearly as the introduction begins and as he goes through these verses and he lays it out. It's through God, the Father, working in Christ so that we have relationship with him, and it is by the power of Christ and what he has accomplished again on our behalf. So it is a repetitive theme, but it is something that we desperately need because of where we are as individuals. And I mean, it's just what I said yesterday, you know, about the about our heart and where our heart is. And I think that's true even now, right? Where we would say that sometimes what of our motives, right? But I think people's heart, we act upon it. And as I referenced yesterday in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So we know that the heart is sick. And just as when you go to the doctor to get relief from your ailment, maybe he's already writing the prescription as you're talking and you're like, hey, there's something else that's going on. But here, we know the true ailment that causes much despair and anguish in mankind in general is the heart. And as we've described in the past, the ultimate fix for the purification of one's heart is found in Christ, as Paul again has clearly stated. It's not him, it's not Apollos, it's not anything that's been done. It's only found, heart change, transformation, is only accomplished by the work of Christ in an individual's life. And the recognition of that begins with repentance. The acknowledgement that we have human responsibility, it's our sin that has separated us from the love of God. And because of that, the redemption that's found through Jesus Christ and what he sacrificed of himself as an obedient servant of the living God, Yahweh. And so here we are with what Paul is describing as such a foundational truth for us as believers. It's not of anything else that we boast upon except Christ. And so this division, this division or disunity, quarreling, has basically occurred because of the lack of attention that needs to be focused upon what, again, is accomplished through Christ. We get so focused on other things. For instance, specifically in the church, which Paul is speaking to here in Corinth, is we get caught up in other people's business. the picture that's portrayed, I like to say this, is like the neighbor who's, you can only see half of his head over the fence, and he's looking at his neighbor's yard. You know, we start to look at each other. I think that's the biggest hang-up in church, as it is probably, again, those tendencies from preschool to adulthood, you know? Well, I've got to have this because, you know, I've heard my kids say that. Such and such has this. And that, you know, that's the way to go. And I need to have that. No, you don't. You don't have to have that. It's not a necessity. It's not going to stop you from breathing. I know that's sarcastic, but that's a lot of times what I'll ask, you know, I'll be like, you know, is this hindering you to the point to where there's some catastrophe to where you can't function physically? Like, I don't see any blood coming out of you or anything of that nature. Anyway, just the way in which sometimes we over magnify the things in which seem like they are, again, necessary for us to function. And I think that's what occurs even in adulthood and in our churches. And then, of course, then comes the quarrels and the fusses and everything else. And then, you know, hey, it's like this. Nothing is mine. You know, we want to stake a claim on things. And I think I've had to learn this the hard way. Is I think it's mine and then it gets gone. You know, and then you just, again, I feel that we, sometimes in church, what I think what Paul was describing here, again, is we lose focus of who it is that we're doing these things for. Why is it that we're doing these things? It's because of what Christ has done, so therefore we desire to share this good news with others. And it's not our own power, resource, building. And let me just pump the brakes on that too. And I think that's the other side of it that I don't know how, you know, you have to be compassionate and long-suffering with people. But sometimes I sense, I'm not going to say this with all of the older people, but sometimes I sense that when things have occurred in a church that's been founded upon, well, this is my daddy that did this back in the 20s, and then, or my granddaddy did this, and then my daddy, and then me, so it's like three generations. I'm just using that as a hypothetical. I'm sure that probably has happened somewhere. And then it gets to the point to when something is going to change or take a different formation in the church. And it's just like, you know, well, this is so-and-so and that's affiliated with this. And here's the story behind that. And, you know, this is how it evolved, which is great. And I'm glad that those people were used by God in their time that they were at the church and the ways in which they ministered. But ultimately, you know, that authority, that reign, that namesake, that memory and honor, I mean, all of that should be, the glory and honor should be for Christ. And I think that's just the truth of it, you know. As much as we love Paul's writings, and we see how he impacted the world for Christ. Again, he resonates with this anthem of, you know, proclaiming the gospel, and it's about Jesus, and it's about how he did this magnificent work, and it's nothing that he can boast upon because it's clearly a way in which his life just, it breathes Christ. I mean, again, notice what he says here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. So he's saying it's not in his speech, his clever speech. It's, you know, it's all in the power of what Christ accomplished on the cross, and that's it. There's no special language that has to be used, no verbiage, no way in which he enunciates, pronounces, which I know that's a big thing now, and I'm not the best speaker, by the way, but I just say this. I think the importance of Christ being made great and less of myself, and I say that even now. I mean, that's my hope in this podcast, My hope is that people would come to the knowledge of salvation, experience Christ everlasting, so that their life would be changed. Because we need that. And we need that in this world. And our churches need to live that. You know, my church needs to live that. We have a good church, but our church is not perfect. It's not by my cleverness. It's not by my craftiness. It's not by what my heritage, the history. It's all about Jesus and what he's done and how he has brought us to the point that we are able to continue to work and praise him. And this is really what Paul is starting off with. Again, the introduction itself. Go back and read that chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It all comes back to the glory of God and what Christ accomplished on the cross. And therefore, when he suffered and bled and died and defeated death and then was resurrected, just as, again, the truth of being baptized as a believer, of being buried in our sin and raised to walk in new life in Christ. So there we are. Paul is stating that it's not anything that man has done. It is ultimately this grand work, this great work that God has allowed us to be a part of. So I pray that we would be reminded of that in our churches. I pray that we would, again, hold fast to the truth in which we sometimes struggle with and looking at others. Sometimes we get focused on looking at what else is going on. And again, that I know that can be a little tricky, but I think it's important for us to remember what we're doing. Why is it that we're doing this in the first place? It's not for our glory. It's for his. To God be the glory. So let us do it well for him. Let us get away from the quarrels and the things that occur with that are petty differences sometimes even. Because ultimately, again, going back to James, what we just got out of, our life is short. So let's do the most with what we have in the time that God has given us here. Paul's reminding us of this truth, and he's telling the church at Corinth, to God be the glory forevermore. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.